Okay, 12 minutes after 7 o'clock, under pressure still to come here this morning. He's Rick Dhaliwal. I'm James Cebulski, and we head to Boston. We head to Beantown for one of the hardest-working men here in sports media for the last few months. One day, he will get a day off, but not today. Nick Kiprio, Sportsnet Hockey Insider. And Kipper, how you feeling, man?
I feel good. Usually, Elliot tells me he's the hardest-working guy, Friedman.
No.
But I'll take that compliment.
No, you still hold it together because I look at you, you're in much better shape. Like Friedman's much like me. He's built like a bag of milk or something like that. You know, you kind of carry it together here. So here we go. Game 7 tonight, Kipper. Give me a sense. Like I look at what happened the other night for the Raptors and Warriors game. I look at the way home ice has been. Look at how the Blues responded in Game 6 at home. I'm almost wondering, with the anticipation, the hype, the social media frenzy, and just the anticipation for civic pride, I wonder, like, the pressure to try to win at home feels almost harder than ever now. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. There's no question that you think you're really close, and you are, but it's the last one that's the hardest, and if it wasn't so hard, more teams would be doing it, right? So it's unfortunate for St. Louis Blues fans that they could not capitalize on what many believe was their best opportunity to win in Game 6 at home. And there's not too many people that are giving them a chance here in Game 7. I, for one, look at them and how resilient they've been throughout the playoffs, going back to dead last in January. And there's nothing that leads me to believe that they should be written off. I'm not saying that they're going to win tonight, but I'm sitting there going, they certainly have a chance, and that's based on what we've seen in the last 6 months.
There's a resilience. There's just a resiliency to them, though, aren't they? I mean, the Blues just continue. I mean, they underachieved the first 3 months, but, you know, to play the way that a lot of us expected them to play, now they're there, and then they've kind of just, they get knocked down, but they get up again. They're like the Chumbawamba song from about 20 years ago.
And I really give Craig Berube full credit. While we overanalyze and bring in the analytics and break it down as much as we can, he brings it back to the simplest form. How badly do you want it? Go get the puck. Try harder. I mean, that's basically what the Blues have been able to do, and that's what Berube's been able to push for 6 months, and they'll have a chance here. The only question is, what style of play do you lean towards? Do you believe that the pound them into the ground philosophy, or is it a combination of some speed, some skill by the Boston Bruins with some pushback that you like? So we'll see if the Blues can hem them in their own zone and not let them get those clean breakouts. I think they have a chance, much like the game that they won here in Game 5. That's their only hope here, because when the Bruins win, they win big. I mean, the only chance St. Louis has is to keep it really close and hope they shut them down, and Binnington's there to cover them up.
Nick Kiprios with us here on Sportsnet 650. A couple of things I do want to touch on. You know what? Hey, we're getting closer and closer. 9 days away to the draft. About 11 days now before teams can start talking to prospective UFAs. Here in Vancouver, it's too quiet maybe with respect to Alex Edler. Any sense you're hearing in terms of what the end game is here? Is he going to go to market, or do you think deadlines create deals here in this in Vancouver?
Well, we certainly had that feeling months ago that they wanted Edler back and he wanted to be back and there was a deal to be made.
Yeah.
What's happened between then and now, we don't really know for sure. But there is still a sense that, under the right terms, what that means, the extra year where the AAV lies, I think is still undetermined. But there is a sense, James, and not just with Edler and the Vancouver Canucks, that there is uncertainty going into this summer that I've seldom seen in 15 or 20 years. And I think that really dictates, I think, around these RFAs. The RFAs are the biggest question mark going into the NHL draft here. And what does that mean, and how much teams are willing to pay to re-sign? And more importantly, where is everybody on these offer sheets? You talk to some, they're inevitable. You talk to others, and they're long shots. So we'll see where it plays out. But certainly from probably a dozen teams out there, their star players now are coming out of entry-level deals. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Do they become $10, $12 million players overnight? Or are they going to get those bridge deals jammed down their throat? We'll see. It'll be an interesting scenario for a lot of hockey clubs.
Kipper, before we get running here, the NHL and the NHL Players Association Competition Committee, they pushed forward new rules. And I tell you what, man, when it's a group that's consisting of Connor McDavid and Steve Yzerman, you know what? I kind of like the hockey that those guys are all about, so I'm not going to complain about it. But one is to, you know, changes to NHL's video review and going forward. What do you make of some of the rule changes that they're pushing forward here?
Well, it's now driven by what the temperature of the water is out there, and we know what social media does and the demand for change, and the NHL is feeling it. I think a couple of scenarios that we've seen throughout the playoffs has really led to this push for change. I'm a traditionalist in terms of keeping the game as pure as we can, and that means at times leaving it in the hands of the officials and living and dying by their calls. That's historically the way it's been, and I still want to see it that way. I think our officials are great. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. But neither are players, neither are coaches, you know, and neither is the NHL office when it comes to making, you know, their decisions. They're all good at what they do, but to strive for perfect, I don't think is an achievable place. So in saying that, how close can we get to perfect without, you know, getting there? And maybe another review call. And that's where they're at. How it's going to take place still isn't determined, but there will be a secondary call where the official will get another chance to look at a controversial play. And that's the demand of the people. That's what the fans want. And that's, I think, what they're going to get.
I won't ask you to break it all down, but give me a simple finish this sentence. The winner of Game 7, the Stanley Cup Final tonight will be...
I picked the St. Louis Blues back in September. I can't change now.
Good call, buddy. So, I'm with you on that one, right? Tonight. Yeah, no, so, I think it's easier to win on the road. I think I'm going to take the road team tonight.
Doesn't seem to be much rhyme or reason throughout these playoffs, as we've watched so many favorites lose early here. So I'll stick with that. Now, in saying that, you look at teams on paper, no one would pick the St. Louis Blues over the Boston Bruins. But as we know, the game ain't played on paper.
No, and you know what? One way to win yourself fans here in the Vancouver market is to pick against a Boston team. So well done, Kipper. Kipper for mayor in 2020. There you go. Thanks for this, buddy.
Thanks,
have fun tonight.
Okay. All right. Enjoy. All right.
Thank you. That is Nick Kiprio, Sportsnet analyst and insider, talking all things Game 7, rule changes. Alex Edler joining us here this morning on the starting lineup.
Sportsnet 650.